Hi, everybody. Good morning. Buenos dias. This is Radio Lean Carol J 101.5 FM on your radio dial, coming to you live from our studios here at Pueblo y Salud. This is Cassandra Meraz.
Lilith Daftian.
Milan Sinek.
And Brenda Villanueva.
All right, guys. I hope everyone's having a beautiful Saturday morning. So today with this hour, we're going to be talking a little bit about the cultural differences, kind of like growing up. And since most of us all grew up in different cultures, I was thinking it would be a good topic kind of to like talk about, see how everybody grew up, just kind of the different traditions and stuff like that. So do you guys want to just start off with like traditions in general? What you guys do in terms of like holidays, birthdays, or just things that have to be done, you know, throughout the year?
Yeah, but I think to give our audience a little bit of context, why don't we talk about our age, mm-hmm. our cultural background, and whether we are first, second, third generation American.
All right.
So since I started that, I'll start it off. I'm 33 at the moment. My parents left El Salvador in the 80s to come here during the Civil War. So when they reunited, you got this blessing that you are hearing in your airwaves. And so I am first generation American. So I have the upbringing of, you know, the context of LA, born and raised here, but also a lot of the cultural background from El Salvador. So yeah, some of those customs and me, you know, being English as a second language learner, that also plays into my life.
All right, thanks for sharing. Milan, do you want to go next?
Yeah, so hello, everyone. My name is Milan Sinek. I'm 29, and I'm Canadian. I'm a Canadian citizen. I'm currently doing an internship here at the Pueblo y Salud, San Fernando. So obviously my background is different from most of the people here. My family is originally from Europe, but we moved to Canada when I was very young. So I grew up and I was raised in Canada, in the easternmost province in Canada, which is French-speaking. So I grew up in a French-speaking environment with some values and customs that are maybe different from the main values here in the United States. So yeah.
Cool. Lilith, do you want to share next?
Hi, this is Lilith. I'm 23 years old. My parents moved from Armenia around 30 years ago, and I was born here in Glendale, California. And I would say that my family still focuses a lot on the traditional aspects of our culture, but they've slowly been assimilating to the culture here. So I feel as though I have a mix of both traditional from where my family's from, and a lot from here, because I was born here. I went to schools that were English-speaking, and just because of my environment.
Nice. Cool. Thanks for sharing. And I guess that leaves me. So I'm Cassandra again. I'm 23 years old. My dad was born in Michoacan, in Mexico, and my mom was actually born here in the States. Both their parents... both my grandparents, I should say, both sets of grandparents migrated here from Mexico, from Jalisco and Chihuahua, and then Michoacan, respectively. So growing up, I guess I had the traditional, like, Mexican, you know, traditions and stuff like that, because growing up, I had to learn English and Spanish around the same time, because that was really the only way to communicate with my grandparents. So I grew up speaking both. And then since my grandma kind of watched us when we were younger, having to learn both languages was kind of, I had to type of thing, which I really am grateful for, because now it's given me opportunities to kind of be more involved and more appreciative of my culture. So yeah, so that's kind of where I come from, and kind of where, you know, how I grew up and stuff.
Before we get into like the breakdowns of like, I guess, the differences between, you know, our cultures and all that, I don't know for you guys, like for me being first generation American, I think growing up there was moments, because Spanish is my first language, so for me, thankfully, I was a nerd. And I didn't start school till like I think kindergarten, so I never even went to preschool. But by first grade, I was on the ESL program. Second grade, they deemed me bilingual, so they took me out of the program. And then by third grade, I was reading at like fifth grade level, because as I was learning the language, I've been a very outgoing person since I was a little kid. Ever since I was a kid, I was very outgoing, never really had an issue talking with people. But since I was learning a new language growing up, even at a young age, I would kind of feel like a disconnect as from where my parents were born to where I was born. Because in a sense, at that point, I had never been to El Salvador. The first time I ever went to El Salvador, I think I was like 8 or 9. But as I'm learning this new language, I really only know of El Salvador, the food. Because, you know, you got to keep the food traditions alive. The customs. But at that point, even my parents, you know, they were trying to learn English as well. And, you know, my dad's trying to get a little Americanized and stuff like that. And so I'm obviously growing up in L.A., so... I think the cool thing that kind of also helps you embrace your traditions a bit is that I was born and raised in LA, but every neighborhood that I was born, that we lived in, basically, was predominantly Latino. So that kind of helps, I guess, in a sense, carry some of that culture. But again, you also have all of these other Latino customs, because you know, we're all, like, let's say maybe Central American or, you know, North American Latino, doesn't mean that we really have the same customs. Because even within our different countries, there's not even just the food, but just like the customs and traditions vary. So for me, for a while, sometimes I grew up thinking like, I'm not either from there or from here. So I was trying to assimilate myself into what I thought, you know, was me, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know if any of you guys growing up kind of had that type of feeling.
Yeah, I can kind of relate to that in a way. When most people look at me, they don't think I'm Mexican. They automatically think that I'm white or, you know, something else. So growing up, I always got looks of like, oh, she's too white to be Mexican. And like, are you really Mexican type of thing? So I felt always needing to prove myself. And something that I always refer back to, even though it's like super cheesy, but if anybody has seen the movie Selena, there's a scene where the dad is driving Selena and the brother, they're like going back home or something, and they're talking about a gig in Mexico, and Selena's very like, in the movie, you know, J-Lo, who plays Selena, is very like, oh, I want to go. And then the dad goes, you know, sometimes being Mexican American, you know, to the effect is like, sometimes you have to be more Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans. And that's something that's always stuck with me. Just because, you know, visiting and like going to Mexico to visit family or just, you know, taking vacations there, I always felt like I had to prove myself to be like, yeah, I'm Mexican too, or like, we do these things too. And then being here, like growing up American and going to like school and stuff like that, I always had to be like, no, I'm American too. Like, I do American traditions, quote unquote. So for me, it was always trying to like fit in, trying to find the middle ground where I kind of, I guess, please both sides of the traditions and stuff like that. But I grew up in a loving environment where, you know, my parents helped us embrace both sides of the culture. So it wasn't really like, okay, you're either going to pick to be Mexican or you're going to pick to be American. So I think that helped a lot, too, in having to embrace both cultures. Mm-hmm. And even now, it's still kind of hard to find certain things because, like, even now people are like, are you sure you're Mexican and stuff like that? But I've learned to kind of embrace it and kind of own that I'm Mexican American, and just, you know, use what I've learned growing up to kind of help other people that are like not who are going through the same thing and stuff like that. So yeah,
in a way, I guess where you can say we're kind of like Miley Cyrus's and Hannah Montana's, best of both worlds, right?
yeah exactly. Lily or Milan, did you want to share before we get into some music?
I can relate to you when you say that when people look at you, are you actually Mexican? But I get that too as an Armenian. A lot of, not in a bad way though, but usually I'm not recognized as Armenian just because of how I look, I guess. But I feel like my experience is a little different just because of where I grew up. I grew up in like predominantly like Armenian community. Mm-hmm. So I've always, when I was in school, I was always surrounded with Armenians. And I feel like that helped me not feel so confused with where I stand in terms of that, just because of the people that I grew up with, they were Armenian-American, usually first generation. But of course, you know, everyone has different experiences, and that was just mine because of where I grew up or the people that I was surrounded by.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. I feel like everybody's experience, like, I'm, like, just because I'm Mexican-American, somebody else who's Mexican-American might not be going through the same thing. Right. Someone who's Armenian might not be going through the same things, or someone who's from El Salvador and stuff like that. But with that being said, we're going to, you know, play some music for you guys, and then we'll get back into the conversation. So enjoy the music.
En una rosa estás tú, si en cada respirar estás. searching for something that I can't reach. I don't like them innocent. I don't want no face fresh. Want them wearing leather bag and let me be your taste test. I like the sad eyes, bad guys, mouth full of white lies. Kiss me in the corridor, real quick to tell me goodbye. You say that you're no good for me, 'cause I'm always tugging at your sleeve. And I swear I hate you and you leave, but I like it anyway. My ghost, where'd you go? I can't find you in the body sleeping next to me. My ghost, where'd you go? What happened to the soul that you used to be? You're a rolling stone boy, never sleep alone boy. Got a million numbers and they're filling up your phone boy. I'm off the deep end, sleeping all night through the weekend. Saying that I love him, but I know I'm gonna leave him. You say that you're no good for me, 'cause I'm always tugging at your sleeve. And I swear I hate you and you leave, but I like it anyway. My ghost, where'd you go? I can't find you in the body sleeping next to me. What happened to the soul that she used to be? I'm searching for something that I can reach. My ghost, where'd you go? I can't find you in the body sleeping next to me. My ghost, where'd you go? What happened to the soul that she used to be?
Sunrise with you on my chest, no blinds in the place where I live. Daybreak, open your eyes, 'cause this was only ever meant to be for one night. Still, we're changing our minds here. Be yours, be mine, dear. So close with you on my lips, touch noses, feeling your breath. Push your heart and pull away. Yeah, be my summer in a winter day, love. I can't see one thing wrong between the both of us. Be mine, yeah. Anytime, anytime. Ooh, you know I've been alone for quite a while, haven't I? I thought I knew it all. Found love, but I was wrong. More times than enough. But since you came along, I'm thinking, baby, you are bringing out a different kind of me. There's no safety net that's underneath. I'm free, falling all in you. Far from it, who would have me appear? Trapped up on a tightrope. Couple years, yeah. Grown up in the place that we live. Make love, then we fight. Laugh, 'cause it was only meant to be for one night, baby. I guess we can't control what's just not up to us. Be mine, yeah. Anytime, anytime. Ooh, you know I've been alone for quite a while, haven't I? Who would have they appear?
up on a table. Now we're here, we're free, falling all in you. Every time I see you, baby, I get lost. If I'm dreaming, baby, please don't wake me up. Every night I'm with you, I fall more in love. Now I'm laying by your side. Everything feels right. Since you came along, I'm thinking, baby, you, yeah, are bringing out a different kind of me, yeah. There's no safety that that's underneath. I'm free, falling all in you. Fell from me, who and how they appear. Ooh, trapped up on a tightrope.
De un pensamiento, y yo solo pienso en ti, mi niña bonita,
mi amor.
Oye, tú reconoces un hit cuando lo oyes.
Lo que siento por ti es ternura y pasión. Tú me has hecho sentir que hay en mi corazón tanto amor, tanto amor.
Yo nací para ti, tú también para mí. Y ahora sé que morir es tratar de vivir sin tu amor, sin tu amor.
Mi niña bonita, mi dulce princesa, me siento en las nubes cuando tú me besas. Y siento que vuelo más alto que el cielo, si tengo de cerca el olor de tu pelo.
Lleno de romance y alegría, de bello detalle cada día, nena, ¿quién lo diría? Que de ti yo me enamoraría, y que sin tu amor no viviría. ¿Cómo sabría que esto pasaría, que ibas a ser mía y que yo querría?
Amarte
por siempre,
mi niña bonita. Mi niña bonita, mi dulce princesa. Me siento en las nubes cuando tú me besas. Y siento que vuelo más alto que el cielo, si tengo de ser.
Mi niña bonita,
Richie Peña.
Tú y únicamente tú.
Mi niña bonita.
Magna.
Esto es un hit mundial.
Hello, good morning, welcome back. You're listening to Radio Olin on KROJ 101.5 FM, coming to you live from our studios here at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando. You're currently tuning in to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando program. This is Cassandra Meraz.
Lilith Doftian.
This is Milan Sinek.
And Brenda Villanueva.
So for those who are just tuning in, we were talking before the music break, kind of about the different cultures that we're all that we all grew up in. Just because in the group that's sitting here inside the radio station right now, we all come from different cultural backgrounds and stuff like that. And I thought it would be interesting if we can kind of get into the discussion of how, I guess, etiquette, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but in terms of like when you go to somebody's house or if people come over to your house, kind of some of the things that you think are different from other cultures that you are surrounded by, or you might think are differences between, like, say, the Armenian culture and the Canadian culture, or like the Canadian culture versus the Mexican culture and stuff like that. So I don't know who wants to jump into it first, but yeah, we can get started with that.
So I'm going to speak about the Armenian culture and what's expected from guests when you go to a house and what's expected from the person who's hosting. So first, let's say you're a guest going to someone's house. Usually someone brings a box of chocolates or a box of pastries, of our pastries. It's called nazuk. It's usually that they bring from a local Armenian shop. There's a joke that that same chocolate box that you bring, it gets passed around to different houses, because usually what we do is we save that box if we don't use it, because it's just filled with so much candy that, like, you don't, we're not really that much into sweets, yeah. So yeah, we'll, like, save it, as bad as it sounds, we'll save it, and then we'll, like, it gets passed around to different houses, and the joke is that you end up with the same box at the end of the day. But,
that's true, funny. Right?
No. Yeah. No, of course, like, if it's expired, we don't do that. But that's one thing we do. But in terms of hosting, so the first thing that's done is you clean the house. Like, you clean the entire house. You clean your room just in case your guests come and you put their coats in their room, or if they come to your restroom and things like that. But so let's say a guest comes over, the first thing you do is you ask them, do you want coffee or tea? And then our table set up so it has a bunch of stuff on it. As like, it's already set up before they come, so it's like fruits, nuts, sunflower seeds, you have the utensils, you have all the plates, you have all the pastries, and then you have the pastries that the guest brings, or not if you don't open the chocolate box. But usually you just talk. What I noticed that, like, my family talks about when they come over, they're like, oh, what are you up to? What is your daughter doing? How's school? You know, all those typical questions. Mm-hmm. And usually you're expected to stay home while the guests are over, even if you're not necessarily close with them, just so as a sign of respect. Mm-hmm. My family is a little more lenient towards those things, but in the traditional families, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Armenian coffee, it's sort of like Turkish coffee, and that's the first thing that's served. And what we do after is so it's basically used with a tiny coffee cup that's on a small plate, and it's just dark black coffee. So you make it for your guests, and yeah, it's really good. And after you drink it, you place it upside down, because I guess, like, the grinds in the coffee, we don't, like, brew it to a point where there's no grinds left in it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you place it upside down for about a few minutes, and then when you place it back upright, there's like a picture in there, or like,
oh,
a
super cool,
sort of like a story. Mm-hmm. And so you ask someone in the family to read it, someone who is considered to have good intuition or someone who has good eyes. And so they tell you, they're sort of like reading your future, but for like the next month or for the next few weeks. Like, they'll be like, oh, I see a bird, or I see that it's clear on this side of the cup. That means, like, you know, your heart's going to be set free, or something like that.
But, oh, cool.
And then the next round is food. So usually it's just pastries, like I mentioned. And then at the end again, you bring out tea. And then the thing is, even though it's funny, because usually, you know, like, for tea, it's considered like, oh, it's almost over. But Armenians, we drag out our goodbyes, so it lasts like another hour. And then they get up to leave. You're standing at the door for an hour talking, and then you're walking to the car and talking more.
Yeah.
But this is just something that's expected. And usually, like, the like, if my mom's hosting, for example, like, I'm expected to help, or like, do something at least. And it sort of a sign of respect. And one more thing I want to add, usually with the older guests, the older generation, they're usually asking, oh, when is your daughter getting married? And that's very common in our culture to ask of that, at least for the older generations.
Nice. So thanks for sharing, Lilith. Yeah, so just going kind of based off what you were saying, I guess I can kind of go next and kind of give the perspective of, you know, growing up Mexican and stuff like that. A lot of the things that a lot of the things that you were saying, I can actually kind of is similar to the Mexican American culture. But yeah, if any guest ever comes over, the house needs to be spotless. Usually we'll clean like the night before, or even that morning. And right. I know when my mom like starts blasting music throughout the house, I'm like, all right, it's cleaning day. Somebody's coming over. So we'll clean everything, make sure everything's like completely spotless. Usually if it's like a big group coming, we'll start preparing the food in the morning while we're cleaning. And then we usually get stuff that like the people like, so we know that they have like a favorite drink or a favorite snack, then we'll make sure like we go to the store and we get it, just so they kind of feel more comfortable and stuff like that. So yeah, so we usually like clean and stuff, and then when the people come over, you know, we greet them at the door, give them a hug, and stuff like that, and then we invite them in. Usually too, like we offer them something to drink, have them sit on our couch, be like, make yourself at home. And stuff like that. And then usually people sometimes, depending on what it is, like if it's a party or if it's a get together, like a carne asada, people bring beer. People bring beer. They bring dessert. Sometimes they'll bring food, like, oh, like, don't worry about it, we'll make the rice, or right. don't worry about it, we'll bring this, and stuff like that. Or so, yeah, so that's always a lot of fun because sometimes it turns into a potluck. And so we do that sometimes when people come over. We also, like for the kids and stuff, usually the guests, if like guests have kids and stuff like that, they'll be like, oh, don't worry, I'll bring the stuff for the kids to do. Or like, well, we have all these games and stuff. And so I know what my kids like, so I'll bring it anyway, just so we can keep them entertained and stuff like that. So that's a lot of the stuff that we do in terms of like, respecting our elders and stuff like that. We always, when we address them, we usually like call them usted instead of like tú. Like tú is usually when we talk to like our friends and stuff, and then like usted is like if I'm talking to my grandparents or like just somebody who's like a lot older than me, just like as a sign of respect. And then we usually like greet them too, we hug them or whatever. And then it's like the typical like, oh, how are you, how's the family, what have you guys been up to? And then like it could totally relate to like the older the older relatives or friends asking like, oh, so where's the boyfriend, when are you gonna get married, what are you doing, like are you still in school, you know, what's the future like and stuff like that. But yeah, like those questions are like always asked, and like it hasn't changed from like 2 weeks ago when you asked me, so like you're gonna get the same answer. But yeah, so that's kind of like the stuff that we do. Definitely trying to make, like, our whole thing is that we try to make everybody feel at home and feel as comfortable as possible, whether it's like the first time they've been at our house or it's like the millionth time that they've been there and stuff like that, just to let them know kind of like if they ever needed a place to stay or just kind of just to hang out, like our house could be the place to do it and stuff like that. So yeah, it's kind of some of the stuff that we do.
For us, yeah, I could relate to the whole having to clean the house. We were joking around in the break that my mom, it could be the neighbor coming in and like literally pick up something, you know, and we will clean like for a whole 3 hours just so it could be spotless for that 5 minute visit, you know. but for us, mostly right now it's just me and my mom, but even when we had you know, my brothers were there and stuff, like my mom's always been the kind of person that she prefers for us to have our friends over than for us to go over somebody else's house. But, you know, my mom is the kind of person that she's like everybody's mom. Like, for a while, when we used to have our house, we used to have our Bible study group at my house, the youth one. And so, you know, all the youth loved my mom and all that. But for us, for the most part, it's just kind of like, it depends on what we have. We can't say that we have a very traditional, like, we're, you know, get together some stuff. It's just mostly like when we have people over, one of the things that you could definitely expect if my mom is in the house, at some point, no matter what, you better have an open mind and an open heart, because my mom's gonna preach the gospel to you one way or another, whether, you know, she's not going to come and, like, you know, repent or none of that, but at some point she's just going to, you know, you're going to hear her talk about how amazing God is and, you know, how faith plays such a major role in her home. And just stuff like that, like, oh, I know God has my back, or, you know, you'll be talking about something, and then she'll be like, yeah, that's because Jesus did that, and something, you know, to that extent, and once you get, like, you become really close to our family and stuff like that, like, you'll be on my mom's prayers, because my mom's the type of lady, like, you know, she'll, like, pray all the time. But another thing, and this, I don't know if it's a Latino thing, but it's just, like, we're very, when it comes to, you know, our elders, we're very etiquette, like, even if you don't know that person, if you see a lady coming down the street, you better say hi, like,
oh, yeah.
That's just a sign of respect.
Yeah,
so I remember, this is like way back in high school, but I remember one time one of my friends came over and she just kind of came in the house, you know, and you know, she was with me and whatnot, but she didn't say hi to my mom, and I remember my mom's face, oh my gosh, I was like, you, and I'm looking at her like, you just got on my mom's death list. And she was like, what do you mean? So I was like, how do you not say, like, walk in and say hi to my mom? Like, for real, that's just common etiquette, you know? Like, that's so embedded in our culture. Like, mm-hmm. You see an older person, you, like, especially, like, let's say you see a lady carrying bags, or, like, that's just embedded in you that you're going to help out. You're going to say hi. And just etiquette, like, you know, when you see strangers walking by, like, smile or, you know, say hi. I don't know, something. But, yeah, like, your parents, you know, if there's one way that they judge your friends, it's the etiquette. Mm-hmm. If there's like, if you don't greet the person in the house, like, if you, you know, even the way you sit, like, mm-hmm. if you, like, let's say it's the mm-hmm. first time you came to my house and you're plopping in my couch, like, you live there, my mom's already judging you. You know, like, yeah. Even I'm judging you. I'm like, all right, I just invited you in. Like, you know, we ain't at that level yet. Or, like, if you pop in and you, like, open my fridge, like, right. We about to have some problems. Like, I just, you know, I just first opened the door to you. You ain't about to come in and just, like, you know, barge right in. But
yeah,
it's just like little things like that, you know, that sometimes we don't think about, and it's just common etiquette, you know, that. And I'm very like that when I go to, you know, friends' house, especially if they're still with their parents and stuff. First thing I do, you know, I go hug that mom like I've known her all my life, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm trying to win your parent over, because if we gonna be lifelong friends, you know. Right. I'm trying to be in their good graces, you know. It's just,
yeah,
like common etiquette, you know. But it's just something that, yeah, in my house, like, if you're gonna walk in, you better say hi to my mom. You better, like, you know, greet, you know, that kind of,
yeah,
thing, because she sees that,
right?
You know, because she'll straight up be like, and who raised this child, like, how, you know, like,
yeah,
and that kind of thing, you know. Not to say that judging is a good thing, but it's just,
right,
in our culture that's very embedded. Like, you just, you know, going over to somebody's house, you want to,
yeah,
you know. And sometimes some of my friends do bring stuff, you know, but it's not really, like, necessary, especially if you have that closeness. But it's just more of, like, the etiquette and how you greet and how you treat somebody, you know, that showing that person matters. I think that's what's big in us, you know, especially if I'm inviting you in my home, like, that's already, that's me opening up a lot, because that's my home, that's my personal space, you know. So, like, that's how we maneuver etiquette. I try to sit the most proper I've ever sat in my whole life, like, just those kind of things when I go people's houses, you know. And I think that's I don't know if it's a cultural thing, as it is, like, more of,
I think it is a cultural thing, but Armenians are the same way. Like,
mm-hmm.
you have to greet the elder. And even when I go to someone's house, mm-hmm. even the 1,000 times that I've been to my best friend's house, I'll still greet her parents the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You do a hug, you do a kiss on the cheek, and they ask you how you are. But I would, like, it's also unheard of to just, for our culture as well, to just go in their house and not greet the elders.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sign of respect, and even to this day, it doesn't matter how long I've known you, I'm still gonna greet the elder the same exact way. It's just,
yeah,
how it is.
Yeah, no, I totally relate to that, and kind of like your story about your mom being like, oh, who raised this,
right,
kid?
Yeah.
So one time, this only happened once, a couple years ago, we gave a friend of mine, right after cross-country practice. And, you know, she's cool, whatever. She's still cool, you know. I'll still talk to her, whatever. And she got into the car, didn't say anything to my mom, nothing. My mom was asking us about practice, how it was, and I was responding. And, you know, she was asking this friend questions. And the friend was very, like, one-worded answers, nothing. Got to the person's house, said bye, nothing, no gracias, no thank you, no nothing.
Oh,
and
no.
That was like, yeah, exactly, that was like almost 7 years ago. Until this day, my mom always brings up that story. Mm-hmm. And that was the last time that friend got a ride. But yeah, all the time. My mom's like, oh, so glad you didn't stay friends with that person and stuff like that. But yeah.
Oh, or cursing in front of my mom. That's a no.
Oh, no.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I know that sometimes, you know, but I never do it in front of my mom. Never to this day have I. Like, it's just, but if you curse in front of my mom, I'll be looking at you like, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, we heard our perspective. How about you, Milan? Like, what's those house etiquettes in Canada?
I could talk about the fact that Canada has a kind of two different cultures in it, two different language areas, but also two different nations. You know, mm-hmm. the English-speaking Canadians and the French-speaking mm-hmm. Canadians that are called French Canadians.
Mm, yeah.
And, yeah, those are two different cultures, but we can also have tensions between the two groups, mm-hmm. you know. That was one thing that went into politics, you know, in the last decades. The French-speaking part of Canada even wanted to become independent, get out of Canada. Yeah, we had two referendums in 1980 and 1995. Both times the population chose the option to stay in Canada, but, you know, like the second referendum, I think the results were like 51% against 49%.
Oh, wow.
So it shows you that there's a big big cultural difference. And yeah, French Canadians are basically all Catholics, while the rest of Canada, the English-speaking part, is Protestant. Mm-hmm. So that brings another difference in the culture. Yeah, so those cultural differences are visible in Canada. For example, English-speaking Canadians call the French-speaking Canadians the frogs, because in the French-speaking part of Canada, because of the French heritage, we still have the French cuisine, and you know, people eat frogs' legs. So yeah, in English-speaking Canada, eating frogs' legs is considered as being very weird, while in the French-speaking province, that's a tradition, and it's like a very nice meal that you have with family at special occasions. On the other hand, the French-speaking Canadians call the English-speaking Canadians squareheads, stuff like that. So yeah, you see that there's a big difference between the two groups. And Canada as a whole is obviously different from the United States when we talk about traditions and holidays and things like that. For example, in Canada, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving. That's a very American thing. While we have a kind of celebration every spring in Canada when we get the maple syrup from maple trees, you know, that's like kind of a symbol of Canada. So in every March, April, of every year, people gather together, they go to some kind of houses in the woods, and mm-hmm. we get the syrup from the trees, and it's used to cook meals in that. And the whole family goes there together, and that's a kind of Canadian Thanksgiving, but it's totally different from the American one. So we can see that even in English-speaking North America, where we have the States and Canada, compared to Mexico, let's say, or Latin America, even between the English-speaking countries, there are significant differences.
Nice, cool. All right, guys, so thanks for sharing all your traditions. I think it was a really good discussion. But with that, we're going to, you know, bless your ears with some more music.
Por más que trato, aún quedan tus retratos en cada rincón de la casa y el silencio me habla de ti. Es que sobra tanto espacio desde que no estás. Daría todo lo que hoy me queda por tenerte, porque vuelvas.
Es que me niego a perder.
Me niego a perder.
saber que ya no estás. Quiero pensar que todo esto es mentira.
Muriendo de día, viniendo esta agonía. No puedo entender que ya no seas mía. El círculo se cierra y el dolor me entierra. Qué difícil es vivir en esta guerra. Me niego, aunque digas que estoy ciego. Desde que te fuiste soy un andariego. A todo el compromiso tarde le llego distraído. De tu foto no me despego. Si tú eres mi vida, ¿por qué me liquidas? Yo no provoco tu partida. Necesito tu olor, necesito tu calor. Necesito verte encima de mi ropa interior.
Parece que solo me quedé y fue pura todita tu mentira. camisa negra. Ya tu amor no me interesa. Lo que ayer me supo a gloria, hoy me sabe a pura. Miércoles por la tarde y tú que no llegas, ni siquiera muestras señas. Y yo con la camisa negra y tus maletas en la puerta. Mal parece que solo me quedé y fue pura todita tu mentira. Qué maldita mala suerte la mía que aquel día.
Welcome back. You are listening to Radio Lean on Caro J101.5 FM, coming to you live from our studios here at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando. Currently listening to Platicando y Mejorando. This is Cassandra Meraz,
Lily Daftian,
Milan Sinek,
and Brenda Villanueva.
All right, guys. So if you had just been tuning in, recently we were just talking about traditions throughout our different cultures and the way that we grew up and stuff. But unfortunately, it's time for the program to end. But before we leave you guys, I just wanted to share some community events that are actually coming up in the city of San Fernando. So the first one is, if you have any youth who are eighth graders transitioning to high schoolers, or any high schoolers that are interested in getting involved in their communities and learning about civic involvement, community organizing, social and environmental justice issues, as well as seeking higher education, we are having a Cesar Chavez Inspirational Youth Conference Saturday, March 7th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if you want information about it, go ahead and visit www.cesarchavez.info. And there you'll be able to find the application, the parent release form, and any information regarding that. As well as we are having the March for Justice Sunday, March 29th, 2020. And that's going to be starting at Brand Park in Mission Hills. And it's going to end at Richie Valens Park in Pacoima. So if you want more information about that, feel free to go to www.pys.org or www.cesarchavez.info. But with that, we're going to leave you guys to it. Enjoy your day, and thanks for tuning in.
Stay tuned for next part. All right, and for all of you guys watching the Super Bowl, even though this kind of pains me to say, but go Niners, just represent for the Golden State.
No ha logrado que te olvide, no ha borrado las huellas de tu amor. Todavía siento el sabor de tus besos en mi boca. Todavía siento tus manos acariciándome la piel. Y yo no quiero seguir así, estando con ella y pensando en ti. Por tu nombre, y yo no quiero seguir así.